So one of the ways that we can carry on with our affirmations and to support ourselves in our affirmations is to keep a www.diary, and that's called a What Went Well diary. And I learnt this from the Centre of Applied Positive Psychology in Warwick University, which is, again, you can Google that and have a look at what the work that they do. They do a lot of work in schools with positive psychology. And this was a tool that I used myself and I used with my children as we were going through the divorce. And it really works. I've known it worked lots of people. I've also known it really considerably shift people's moods when they've been depressed. Clearly not extreme clinical depression, but when people have felt down and depressed. So what is the What Went Well diary? It's a diary, so that can be a book, piece of paper. Some people do it on their phone. Some people do it as a Word document, whatever works for you. But what it is that at a regular time, I used to do it at the end of the day, just before bed, and I still do when I need to. I write down all the things that I have gone well for me and that I appreciate. So that, for example, I wouldn't write down that England had won the World Cup, even if they had, because that hasn't had anything to do with me. It hasn't impacted on my life. However, I might write down that one of my children won a race at Sports Day, because that is part of my life. That would be something I appreciate. And also I'd be looking at appreciating the fact that I was there to see him win it, or that he was healthy enough to win that race. And so we're looking at things, we're looking, really training our brain to look for things to appreciate. So for example, when I think about my morning this morning, I appreciate that I've got enough time to come out here and do this, that I'm out in a beautiful place in weather that's warm enough just to be wearing a vest up. I've had a healthy breakfast. My children are happy playing with their friends. Lots of things to appreciate. A good night's sleep. Now, even on those really, really bad days when you can't find anything that's gone well, there is always something if you look. So we take for granted houses, beds, sheets, covers, food, water, phones, etc. We take that stuff for granted, and yet we know, our rational brain knows, that we're lucky that most of the world's population doesn't have those things. Most of us are safe in our beds at night. Most of the world isn't. So there's lots to appreciate. And on a really bad day, when you can't find anything in yourself that you appreciate, or your life that appreciate, then actually really look at that Maslow in the unit on needs. We looked at Maslow. You know, actually, our physiological needs, most of us, most of the time, will have been met. Our safety needs, most of us, if you're listening to this, on the whole, your physiological and your safety needs will have been met. You will be safe, you will be fed. Again, not everybody in the world has that. How lucky are we? So the What Went Well diary, people do it in different ways. It could be bullet points, lists, sentences. There's no right or wrong way. It's whatever you want. I tend to vary depending on my mood. It's always a bit scribbly in pencil, and it's in a book by the side of my bed. And so it will be appreciating having a laugh with my kids, having a cuddle, reading a story in bed, having had a nice exchange at work, having watched something interesting, I noticed what I'm pleased with myself about. So I'm pleased that I dealt with this situation in this way, that I kept calm when maybe I wouldn't have done before, when I was compassionate, when I caught myself being critical and stopped myself. So really pin it down. Try not to be too global. I've had a nice day. Well, unpick that. What does a nice day look like? And again, this is something that works really well with kids. It's not to say that we're denying the bad bits. So with my kids, I wouldn't, you know, we'd start off by how was your day? And so very often the sad and the scary and the bad bits and the worries would come out then. But then we'd finish with appreciations. So the What Went Well diary is a tool that you might like to use. We've talked about affirmations. Another family thing that works really well is, you might call it a game or an activity called Roses, Thorns and Appreciations. Now this works with everybody. At any age, you might want to change the language of how you do it. But in our family, we sometimes do it every night for a period of time. Sometimes we just do it occasionally, and we sometimes do it with friends at the end of a lovely day out. And we sit in a circle and we have a talking object. It depends where we are and what it is. We might just pick up a stone or a stick lying around, and whoever has the stick has the right to talk. And what they're talking about is their roses. The roses are the lovely things that have happened to them that day. The thorns are the not so lovely things that have happened in that day. And the appreciations are appreciations of other people or things outside ourselves that we'd like to say thank you to. And when you finish speaking, you say ho, which is the Native American way of saying I have spoken. It alerts people to the fact that you've spoken, and then other people reply with ho, and that is we have heard. Now obviously you don't have to do it that way, that's just the way I learned that at Kalikalos in Greece, which is a holistic community. And we periodically use roses and thorns, definitely at the end of a holiday, at the end of a term, sometimes just the end of the day, one of the kids will say, can we do roses and thorns? And we pass it between us. And what you're doing when you do that with a group of people is you're supporting each other in, first of all, being really honest and open. And it's a safe place to say the thorns, because it doesn't lead into a discussion. So if one of my kids says, oh, a thorn was that my brother broke my Lego. Now, because no one else can speak apart from that son, because he's got the talking stick, it can't escalate into a row or a combat. It's just hearing it. It doesn't mean anyone's got to fix it, doesn't mean anyone's got to put it right, but it has been heard. And it doesn't turn into a problem-solving session. It's just a hearing session to get things out in the open. And it may not sound very powerful, but actually, when you just listen without feeling the need to respond, and you can just say something that I have heard, you have spoken, I have heard, then there's a great letting go of the thorns, and it raises, you know, people enjoy hearing the roses. It reminds them when we do it in a group and someone's going through their roses, you think, oh yeah, I'd forgotten that that was great. That's brilliant. And then you add to it and it becomes a virtuous circle. So another tool you might like to try with your family or a bunch of families or a bunch of friends are roses, thorns and appreciations. Now, how might that work in the workplace? Simply, there's work by Nancy Klein who talks about the thinking environment. And in the thinking environment, there's 10 elements to how she works with teams in a very specific way. And I'm not going to go into that now. You can have a look at Nancy Klein if you want to, if this is something that you think you're interested in for work. But she starts all her meetings that she facilitates and ends all her meetings with appreciations. So she will teach the teams that she's working with the same sort of process where we take it in turns to speak. Nobody interrupts. There's no argument. You're literally just listening until that person's finished. And then when that person's finished, we move round. And she will start with appreciations. So again, whether you're passing an object or just relying on turn taking, but she's very strict about those rules that there can be no interruption, no responding to, that you speak about yourself, for yourself. I appreciate. And what she says, and what my experience is of having used this in groups, is when you do that at the beginning of a meeting with people, you set off on a positive intention. And at the end of a meeting, she does it again. And that's so that however the meeting has been, and often corporate and organisational meetings have content which is boring or irritating or stressful, as well as kind of interesting. But what it does is leaves people on a positive note. It keeps people focusing on the positive. because, and this isn't because we're kidding ourselves that there's no negative, but remember our brain, it has a default setting of the negative. So what we're trying to do is balance it, to look at the balance. And so I do this exercise usually with a group of people, but if you'd like to just practice this now, I want you to have a rant or a complaint, and you might want to do this in writing, or you might just want to press pause and do it out loud. I want you to have a rant or a complaint about your work, all the awful things about it, including the commute, the people, the canteen, the site, the the efficiency, the email systems, your managers, everything. So I'm going to press pause. You can either scribble that or just have a good old moan to yourself, or if you're doing this with someone, to each other, about all the things that really irritate you about your work. I'm going to press pause. Okay. How did that feel? There's an old-fashioned theory that, you know, venting how we feel, the negative emotions, is a way of airing them. It comes from the Greek idea of catharsis, that by venting negative emotions, then we diffuse them. And certainly there's some merit in that. But I'm just wondering how that was, because sometimes when we go on about what we don't like, we grow what we don't like. When we start to rabbit on about the things we don't like about our job, then we find loads of things. There's always loads of things not to like in anything. So how's that left you feeling? Maybe not so good, maybe resentful, maybe a bit more stressed, overwhelmed with all the things that you've got to do. Now, let's flick it on its head. And I want you to think about all the things that you love and appreciate about your job. So appreciate about your job. So maybe it's the commute, maybe it's close to home, maybe there's a great dinner lady, maybe there's a great canteen, maybe the secretaries are fantastic, maybe you appreciate that it's in a town centre, or you really like the train ride out, maybe you like the job, maybe you like this aspect of the job. So I really want you to search through. Of course, your job also pays the bills. Maybe there's security, maybe there's freedom. What are the aspects of your job that you really appreciate? So now, either write that list or rant to each other about all the things that you love and appreciate about your work. So take five. Okay, how does that leave you feeling? Better. You notice things. And if you were doing this with someone, then as they're talking, you often think, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Because our brain's not hardwired to find the positive automatically. We have to train it to. So the more that we focus on the positive, the more positive that we feel, which reduces our stress, which makes everything feel better. Now, I talked about strokes right at the beginning of this. Transactional analysis talks about stroke theory. And stroke theory is that what we give our attention to gets bigger. So if we give our attention to negative things, we notice more negative things. We feel more negative, we notice more negative things. And so it goes on. However, what we stroke is what we get. So if we notice, if we pay attention to more positive things, we'll feel better, so we'll notice more positive things, and up that goes. Now, the word stroke is Eric Byrne's word, and the word comes from when we were tiny, tiny babies and how we were held. And when we were babies, if we had good enough parents, they would have stroked and held us. And being stroked and held and touched was a way of us feeling okay in the world, good in the world. And as we get older, those strokes are turned from physical touch into words, smiles are the positive ones, and punches, kicks, scowls, ignoring are the negative ones. Now, what we know is that there's different types of strokes. There's positive strokes and there's negative strokes. So let's look at the negative strokes. So negative strokes are things like criticism, bullying, punching, any physical abuse, any putting people down. But there's different ways that we can negatively stroke or be stroked. So somebody who tells you your work is awful is giving you a negative stroke, but it's conditional because it's about your work. It's about something you did. somebody that tells you you're awful is giving you an unconditional stroke, because they're saying it's you that's awful. And when that's the worst thing that people can do or say to any of us, or that we can do or say to anyone, that when we say to someone, you're bad, you're stupid, I wish you'd never been born, you're hopeless. Because what can I do about that? You're making it sound global. Obviously, when people say that, it's not true, but that's how we experience it to be. And so that's about the most damaging thing that we can experience ourselves, or have experienced if we're a young person.